Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Do we have a final yet? Bears up 48-27 and Dan Hampton in the studio. It's Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I'm Wendy Snyder. I'm sitting in for Andy Mazur today, and OB is making his way into the studio. Neither team looked very good when that game started, did they?
No. Yeah, it was funny. It was, we expected the Bears to win, okay? We were favored on the road against a 40-year-old quarterback. And all that being said, the opening kick, all of a sudden, a fist fight broke out. And, you know, I mean, we were fighting for our life. The one thing is, you know, it's so funny. Wendy, this game is a game of inches. I know they measure it in yards, but the receiver of Cincinnati, they're driving their own first and goal on the 5-yard line, trying, you know, down 14 points, and the receiver steps out of bounds at the back of the end zone, and his touchdown catch is nullified, and the next play, Tremaine Edmonds, intercepts it and returns it for a pick six of 97 yards or whatever it is. So, you know, it was one of those, you know, could have been, would have been, should have been. Oh, thank the Lord. And finally, the Bears were able to make some plays in the second half and put this thing away. But
it's only because of who they were playing, Dan.
There's no question.
I know it, and a ton of people know it. That Bengal team is god-awful.
They are.
And you got, what, a quarterback, what is he, 40, 41 years old? He's been here, he's been there, he's been everywhere. And this is what I expected, Dan. You know, the Bears are going to win this game. That Bengals team is god-awful. What are they, 3-6 now?
Yes.
Three and six.
Is it over yet? We're 41.
And last week they play a 1-5 team. The week before, 1-4, 1-5 team. The football gods are with us so far, Daniel, Wendy. They are.
And, you know, we expect them to be on our shoulder. And, you know, this was a crazy game. To go back and, you know, review all of the bizarre plays and so many, you know, trick plays on offense.
Danny, what do you expect from the two football teams like the Bears and the Bengals? Really? You know what? You're not talking. I'm going to tell you something. Next week, we got the Giants at home. And the Giants, they're just another god-awful team. But after that, folks, the real football starts. And thank God we're playing these teams now. And even with the mistakes we're making, it's still a nail-biter. But we're winning them. So kudos to the Bears for that.
The one thing is, Green Bay lost. Detroit lost. Both of those teams have 5 wins. Now, and we have 5 wins. The Packers only 2 losses and a tie. To me, you know, these bizarre Sundays where some of the craziest things happen, you know, on the field, and a lot of crazy things happen against us, but some amazing things happen for us despite Flacco making a game out of it until the last 5 minutes of the game, and it's still going. Right now, I think it's almost to the 2-minute warning, but we're up 41-27. And, I mean, we're punting to them, and we'll see what happens. But
Dan, let me just jump in here.
Who says it's over, OB?
Well,
they're going to have the ball, and we can't stop them.
Well, you got a point there. But my point is, these are two terrible football teams. I know it's the beloved Chicago Bears, I understand it. I'm born and raised there. That's the only thing I ever wanted to do, play for the Bears. But I'll tell you what, folks, sometimes things are what they are. We are not a good football team. We have a quarterback that struggled mightily today, folks. If you truly understand this game and you saw him from set of downs to set of downs, from quarter to quarter to quarter, I'll tell you something. There's still some big questions about Caleb Williams. That's what I believe. There's still some big questions, and we're going to start playing some tough teams in about 2 weeks. There's going to be one after another. Let's see how he handles it. But anyway, getting back to this one, We beat a lousy football team. Kudos to the Bears, because it would have been disaster if we lost, Dan. I mean, I know it's not over yet, but, I mean, it's impossible. You can't blow this kind of a lead.
Don't say that.
The first play, Ja'Marr Chase caught a 30-yard pass. So, it 2-minute warning, and it's not over. But
please tell me. The devil can't pop up again, can he?
Well, you know, sometimes in football practice, we have a drill called 9-on-7, where the defensive line doesn't rush the quarterback, and you're not supposed to hit the receivers, and it's kind of like a schematic exercise. And that's kind of what this game has been. I mean, Joe Flacco threw the ball so well today. We finally got a little bit of pressure late, but early in the game, we didn't have answers for the Cincinnati offense, and their defense was doing enough with their pass rush to panic. And that's the proper word, Wendy. Our quarterback played a game today where he looked unsettled from the opening kick. And he made bad decisions.
Yes, he did.
And he wouldn't stay in the pocket. Sometimes the pocket would collapse. Sometimes he just skedaddled. But at the end of the day, your point about our quarterback struggling, yes, for a team that scored, on the scoreboard 41 points, if you go back and look at him and his mechanics, decision-making, all the different aspects, and your point about if you really know this game, this wasn't some John Elway, masterpiece for 41 points.
Oh, God, no.
No, this was Kyle Monongai and the offensive line, just gashing the Cincinnati Bengal defense for, what does he have, 170 yards? Something crazy like that.
Dan, what this is to me, this is just another big question after this game about Caleb Williams.
Yep.
I mean, is he the answer? I mean, we went after him, gave him millions upon millions of dollars, and he came in. He's the second person supposed to walk on water. I'll tell you what. Well, when we come back after the break, but I'll expound some more.
All right. Thanks to Jake Melnick's. They brought over their Thanksgiving on a bun. It's back for all of November. Turkey patty, cornbread stuffing, mashed potato, house cranberry sauce, gravy on a brioche bun. Of course, award-winning wings.
The wings are great.
Oh, they're so good.
How about
good.
The deep-fried pickles?
Those were delish. Jake Melnick's is located at 41 East Superior. Melnick's certainly has game day specials. All right, Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We are back, 312-981-7200 at 720 WGN. Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. It's Wendy Snyder here to help out for Andy Mazur today. The game has changed a little bit, OB. Did you see that?
Yes, I did. I thought it was a game, set, match. I thought it was over with. But lo and behold, the impossible Cincinnati Bengals with a 41-year-old quarterback that's been around this league I don't know how many times. He takes them right down the field in three plays, puts seven up on the board. Not over till it's over, I guess, big man.
No, and they just onside kicked, and it looks like it's going to have – Cincinnati's got a chance of getting it. They've got a big pileup, a big kind of a scrum, trying to figure out who's got possession of the ball. And the Bengal players are jumping around saying they got it. Oh, my gosh. And there's a minute 42 left in the game. So, three-play – touchdown drive we just saw. Flacco could score three touchdowns in a minute and 42. And, while we're waiting for this to kind of fall apart, think about this, folks. Everybody thinks that we're too hard on Caleb Williams. And the thing is, he has, done some good stuff.
Dan, he brings it on himself. It's not you. It's not me. It's not the sports writers in this town or the other TV announcers or whatever have you. He brings it on himself. You don't come in here and think like you walk on water And everything is, whatever you do is not going to be criticized. You're going to be the greatest quarterback. It hasn't happened. It hasn't even come close.
Well, and getting to my point, OB, you know, your point about Caleb, you know, obviously coming in here and having, you know, this kind of empirical attitude that he, you know, is the next great thing. He's going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, and it's just a matter of time till the coronation. But I'll tell you this, the last 3 weeks, we played the pitiful New Orleans Saints, and he was outplayed by Spencer Rattler, who was summarily benched a week later. The next week, we go to Baltimore. He was outplayed by a kid that had been bounced around the league for 5 years, Tyler Huntley. And sure enough, Cincinnati's got the ball, and here they come. They've got it first and 10 on our 35-yard line.
Danny,
this is crazy.
When you're going in and we were favored to win this game. Cincinnati got, folks, is a god awful, another god awful football team, okay? And when we would go up on them and we would get a couple of breaks, that would be, but we couldn't put them away. The entire first half, they kept coming back. And normally what happens when you let teams hang around, it's unbelievable, but out pops the devil. Now this game right now is not over with, but and Cincinnati has the ball. And I'll tell you what, if they take it down and they put numbers up, and we lose this football game, I'm going to tell you something, Ben Johnson. You better start taking a long look at yourself. And you too, Caleb. My God, the amount of money you guys are getting paid, and we're playing a miserable 3-5 team.
What about Dennis Allen? You know, all I hear about is schematic advantage, and Cincinnati has now driven it down inside the 20. And there's plenty of time left, a minute something going left in the clock. And it's a 6-point advantage. If they score, they'll kick an extra point to win the game, folks.
Danny, if that happens.
Absolutely. And it's Dennis Allen. I mean, think about it, folks. I mean, it's Cincinnati's got it first and 10 on our 23-yard line. And hey, buckle up. This isn't make believe. This is really happening live in the NFL.
The reality,
this is insane.
Big man, the reality of this, it never should have came down to this. This was a god awful football team, the Bengals. They got backups playing all over the place, especially at the most important one, a quarterback, and they had to bring a guy in who's been bounced all over the league. He's still in the league. He's 40, 41 years old, Joe Flacco. And he is out playing, so far, our all-world quarterback.
You're not kidding. He just hit Chase Brown, who's got it to the 5-yard line with a minute something left. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. This is out of control.
Dan, for some reason, and this is the second or third game this year when I said, they better put them away, because if not, up pops the devil. It's going to happen. And I'll be damned if I didn't say it again today. I said it in the second quarter, didn't I? Mm-hmm. I said, they're screwing around here. They got to put this team away. They're terrible. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. They can't do anything. And yet they're still in the game.
Well, Cincinnati just tried to run a dive play from the 6-yard line, and the Bears stopped them. But back to the point I was making. He was outplayed by Spencer Rattler, who got benched. He was outplayed by Tyler Huntley, who got benched because the better player, Lamar Jackson, is healthy again. And now Flacco, who has only been in Cincinnati 3 weeks, has a chance to beat us. This is, I'm telling you, this is just out of control. And again, We've got 41 points on the board. Any other day, you'd say, wow, everybody in offense, you know, take a bow. But against Cincinnati's defense being so bad, Cincinnati kind of understands they've got to score 42. And they're just about ready to try another play here from the 8-yard line. Flacco into the end zone. Touchdown.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just saying.
Only in America.
Yeah. I'm just saying. This is out of control, and it's all got to be looked at by, you know, everyone to Dennis Allen, our supposedly, you know, genius defensive coordinator who cannot stop a 40-year-old Joe Flacco.
Folks, this
– it's tied 41-41 right now.
Not only that, the 11 starters on offense, the 11 starters – folks, they're 3-5. That's a 3-5 team we're playing. And we can't answer the bell. And by the way, in that first half, folks, the time of possession, we had almost 10 minutes more just to add on if they kick the extra point and if they win this game. In that first half, we had almost 10 more minutes of offense on that field against the Bengals, a lousy football team. And if you want to put a dagger in it somewhere, put it right in the first half. Why? We weren't ready to play again. Again, we weren't ready to play.
This is unbelievable. We are down now, folks. I walked in here. We were up 14 points with 2 minutes and change left. And we were laughing, saying, you know, the Cincinnati receiver is such a fool. He stepped out of the back of the end zone before he caught a touchdown pass. Oh, well, wait a minute. The Bears intercepted. By the time we got into the studio, they reversed it, gave the ball to the Bears, and the Bears couldn't do anything with it. They had to punt it away with a 14-point lead and 2 minutes and change. And Joe Flacco, 40-year-old Joe Flacco, took the ball and scored 14 points inside of 2 minutes and 28 seconds.
Here's another thing about that with Flacco. Didn't he just get there?
Hit 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, folks. He was with another team. Or he wasn't even playing. He was with Cleveland. And that's 3 weeks ago. He's with another team. He comes in to the Bengals. We're a lousy football team. And they take us to task. And it looks like this could be a loss. With how many seconds left to go, Dan?
Well, we return the kick with 54 seconds left, so it's probably around 50 seconds. I can't really see the clock. But the point being is, Caleb Williams, what we were talking about, if he wants to make a name for himself, do what Flacco just did. 3 passes, get into position for a field goal, and win the game. Now we've got it on our 28. Let's see what happens here, Wendy.
And this all happened in 2 minutes.
We've had something like 21 points scored inside of 3 minutes of the final moments of the game. And Caleb's in the pocket, can't find a receiver. Now he's flushed out, throws it to Loveland. To Loveland for about an 8-yard gain. Loveland got out of bounds and stopped the clock.
Well, the point being, Danny, what you're seeing there at home, folks, and what we're talking about, this never should have happened. It never should have came down to this. Truly and really, with the amount of talent we supposedly have offensively and defensively, are you kidding me? This shouldn't be like this. We should have walked away with this game in 4 quarters. My Lord.
We have to break for news. You guys regroup. This is such a change in what we planned. It's news time here, and Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. All right, Wendy in for Andy. And all right, working with Hamp and OB made me nervous. This Chicago Bears game has given me agita. What just happened? Again?
Folks,
that's two. You want to know what happened? It's two lousy football teams putting on a show that what did you expect was going to happen? Mistakes, missed tackles, overthrown balls, and they went up and down the field like nobody really gave a damn about defense. The game was a joke.
Well, either way, it looks like it's going to count as a win for the Bears. And when we last were with you, the Bears were down 42-41. I said, Caleb Williams, if you think you are the man, if you want to be the man, if you want to prove you could be the man, go out and win this game. I thought he would just try to get us into position for a field goal. I think we all saw it. And if you didn't see it, folks, he hit Colston Loveland on a deep tight end post. The two pathetic Cincinnati safeties kind of lunged at him. And he took the ball 62 yards for a touchdown. So the Bears will now win the game 47-42. I think there may be one play left in this thing.
Well, Danny, you know what?
47-42. Welcome to the new NFL, OB.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I can't. And then they're going to think about we won this game, which I thought we would win this game playing against that team. But then again, who we got? Coming this Sunday at home, we got the New York Giants. Okay, and that's another 3-5, 3-6 team. Oh my God! Whoever made this schedule, it's falling our way. That's for damn sure, Dan.
I think the Giants are 2-5 or 2-6 now, and they're struggling. It's a jump ball and an interception for the Bears. All right, so
Bears win.
Bears win. At the end of the day, this was one for the books, and I don't know what to say other than congratulations to the Bears. They never quit, but my God.
Well, neither did Cincinnati. But that's what happens when you have two lousy football teams, Dan.
Well, I got to
tell you. It's going to be back and forth, back and forth. And who was the survivor?
89 points scored in this little pillow fight. And the thing that I really think you can take away, OB, is the fact that our quarterback, he struggled. He struggled mightily.
There's no question about it, Danny.
But at the end of the game, he made the read and the throw to win it. Those are things you can't give somebody.
Wait a minute,
they've got to earn it.
Yes, you can. That's what he's paid to do.
Exactly.
That's exactly what he's paid to do.
Which we've been waiting for, and he did it. So my point is, you can't say, oh, well, you're good enough to make that throw and expect it. And then, you know, it not happen. Today, he found a way to make the read, stay in the pocket, and deliver the ball perfectly, a runner's ball, to Colston Loveland, who kind of got batted around by the safeties, but spun and ran for the end zone and scored.
Finally, by the way, finally, we haven't got the final stats yet, folks, but finally, we're throwing to guess who, folks? We're throwing to the tight ends, the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. And throwing to our tight ends, Komet and Loveland, and especially Loveland, all four quarters, all the whole entire game, we moved the ball, we converted on third down, and we won a football game throwing to our tight ends.
I like Colston Loveland. He's pretty great.
Yeah.
Well, Wendy, he's 6'6", weighs 250. Komet's 6'5", weighs 250. And I've mentioned this so many times. You know, you're going against defensive backs that if they're 6'2", you know, they're very tall. What do they weigh? 195, 210, 215? We got two giants that for almost the first half of this season, we never used them. And I was moaning and groaning week after week. Throw to the tight ends. Get the tight ends involved. Now, we finally did it today, and thank God we did. Because Loveland, basically, if you're going to want to say something, he basically won the game. He got open. He got free. And Williams hit him with the ball. And our tight end did most of the work scoring and moving the ball down the field, Danny. And I'll tell you what, that was nice to see. And I hope when the Giants come in next week, we're going to get more of Komet and Loveland. More, and more. Because, folks, that opens up your offense, especially your other passing game. Your other pet to Adunze, to Moore. It makes them more viable. But when you don't use them and you don't attempt to put them over the middle or fire to them in the end zone, I mean, my God, 6'5", 6'6", and they're talented, and we haven't used them. But now I see the last couple of games, we're starting to use them. And today, Danny, if there was one thing that I would point to a victory today, because it's such a sloppy game, was our tight end.
I agree.
Our tight ends won this football game for us. That's who won this football game. They didn't drop the balls. They were open, and they did a mighty, mighty job at making us a winner today, which came down to the last few seconds of the game. And if it wasn't for our tight ends, we would not have won this game, Danny. We would not have won this game if it wasn't for our tight ends and the calls to use the tight ends, finally, by our offensive coordinator.
Well, and Cole Kmet left the game early in the fourth quarter after a catch. Looks to me like he hit the ground and the back of his head bounced off the AstroTurf and kind of gave him concussional symptoms. I don't know. Nobody knows yet. But he left the game, which means that the other tight end, Colston Loveland.
He stepped up to the plate.
He stepped up. And, you know, on a day when Roma Dunze didn't have his best day, when DJ Moore made a couple of really spectacular plays, not really catching the ball, but on a reverse and making a touchdown pass back to the quarterback. You know, it was a – when you score 47, a lot of folks get an attaboy, and there's a lot of pats on the back to go around, and we needed every one of those, OB. And again, we're playing the Cincinnati Bengal offense with a 40-year-old fella that – was benched a month ago and then deemed expendable
in Cleveland.
And you know, because Stefanski, their coach, was coach of the year 2 years ago. For him to unload Flacco and go with Dillon Gabriel, the fifth round draft pick, that to me doesn't look like the answer at quarterback, and basically just, you know, get Flacco off the roster to make sure that there's no, you know, clamoring for Flacco to come back. Well, guess what? Flacco has played, you know, superb football and looked like he was going to get his second win for the Bengals today. But our quarterback, after a day of what I think was panic, he panicked play after play after play. One of my buddies, Ronnie, said it's like he had, you know, eight cans of Rockstar before the game, and he's just jittery as can be, and, you know, couldn't set his feet, couldn't make decisions. You know, he was running around in the pocket, trying to get away from some pressure. Really, a lot of it was phantom pressure that really didn't materialize. But, you know, you got to tip your cap. The Bengals had their best pass rush effort of the season today, but whatever they were doing, it put panic in our quarterback's head. But late in the game, he was able to make the throws when he needed. And the one to Loveland, people will talk about that for a long time.
Well, yeah, and you want to know what, Danny? Should it ever have come down to something like that, playing the Bengals? I don't think so. I mean, first downs in the first half, we had 15. And on third down situations, we converted, converted on 5 of 10. That's 50%. I'll take it. For our quarterback any day of the week, that's a big number for him. And the time of possession, which is almost to me stunning. In the first 30 minutes of football, we had the ball almost 10 more minutes than our opponents. Quarters are 15 minutes. Okay, so that's 30. We had the ball almost 10 more minutes than our opponents, and that's when it should have been game, set, match, folks. We should have dominated from the get-go in that first half. Converted first downs 15 times, 50% on third down, which is the most important down. And we ran the ball, we passed the ball. But that number of having almost 10 more minutes, the first 30 minutes of football, and it was a struggle for us to come down to the last few seconds of the game. It never should have been that way, folks. I know we're all happy. It's nice. We won. You want victories any way you can get them. But then there's also a word called reality. And I'll tell you what, reality is coming right around the corner. right around the corner after the Giants. Hold on to your seats.
More Hamp and OB coming your way. It's sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. I think this would qualify. Time now for the Mueller Auto Group game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships with locations in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. It's Hamp and OB and Colston Loveland, his first and second touchdowns of his NFL career today.
Wendy, what happened with Loveland and Kmet, okay? That should have happened from day one. The first game of the season, we might be in a little better shape than we are and be a little bit more positive. But if we didn't go to Colston Loveland today, we would not have even been in this game. We would not have been in this game, Danny.
He was targeted seven times, had six catches, obviously that huge one at the end. 118 yards, right at 20 yard per catch average.
The Bengals threw for 400, folks. They passed 470 yards against our defense. Almost 500 yards of passing. Wow.
You know, I mean, I don't know what you say after this. We were down 20-17. Remember, they ran the opening kickoff back 100 yards. Nobody touched him. And right out of the box, we go down and score to even the score. We get another touchdown and a field goal in the first half. We go in at the halftime 20-17. But you got to tip the cap. We scored four touchdowns in the second half. Four touchdowns in the second half. And I can't remember the last time I've seen that type of an offensive output by the Chicago Bears. And your point about how we talked about it in the pregame, Wendy, how bad can this defense of the Bengals be? Well, it's worse.
They're awful.
Kyle Menagai had 176 rushing yards on 26 carries. That's 7 yards average. I mean, they couldn't stop. You know what? And at some point, you got to say, yeah, the offense was able to make a lot of big plays. They were able to run the ball. We didn't do very well pass protection wise. I already talked about the fact that the Bengal pass rush really got inside Caleb's head. He was panicking most of the afternoon. But at the end of the day, how do you put a bow tie on our defense? I mean, it's a pile of dog. You know what? It's 42 points and they gave up two touchdown drives in 2 minutes at the end of the game. When that's when you want to, get after people and salt it away? No. Hey, Joe Flacco kept throwing it for 470 yards. When was the last time you had a Bear opponent throw for almost 500 yards, OB?
I couldn't even begin.
It's got to be 50 years, 60, 70 years. I don't know. I mean, almost 500 yards. And yeah, we'll take the win, but my gosh, this, I don't know if we answered any questions today, OB.
Well, Danny, I always look at the possession, of time. And at the end of this game, folks, we wound up exactly 9 more minutes. We had the ball 9 more minutes to create things to happen, okay? And if we did not have the 9 more minutes, we would not have won this game. We would not have won. 9 more minutes than our opponents on that field today. We had the ball to make things happen. And it took us to the last few seconds on some miracle plays to win this game. And I always look at the time of possession because I think that's one of the most important stats. Because what does it tell you? It tells you how well you are prepared coming into the game, offensively and defensively and on special teams. That is huge. 9 more minutes, and it came down to the last few seconds of a game. Again, that we won. We just won two games several weeks ago with no time left on the clock on field goals. One block, one we made with no time left. We won here through a touchdown on McColson Loveland making a phenomenal play and run, and we win again at the absolute basically end of a game. That's three games out of 17. Oh, my God. How the hell do I?
Well, in the
you
first.
Look at these stats, Dan.
It's nuts.
Folks, it's crazy. We're not attacking. We're not putting people away. That's for sure. And again, what I told you, you let people hang around. Nine times out of ten, up pops the devil. That almost happened. That almost happened today.
Well, your point about time of possession, first quarter.
Nine more minutes, Dan, at the end of the game.
Well, we had 11.
They had nine more minutes to make things happen.
Think about this. First quarter, they had 11 minutes, 46 seconds. We had 11 minutes, 46 seconds. They had it 3 minutes, 14 seconds.
Should have been game, set, match in the first quarter.
Well, and yet we go in at halftime down. We ran 45 plays in the first half. They ran 22. We ran more than double the offensive snaps than the Cincinnati Bengals, and yet we're down.
That's how lucky we are, Dan.
Well, a combination of luck. And by the way, DJ Moore today.
Listen, if we didn't have luck here today, we ain't winning this game.
Well, like I always
say, the ball bounced and went their way pretty much, Dan.
Well, DJ Moore, he on that long catch at the in the third quarter for one of those touchdown drives. His foot, when he caught it, he was on the white paint. And I don't know why the officials didn't review it. I don't know why, you know, Zach Taylor didn't throw the red flag, but he didn't. And so it counted. And then that reverse that they went and called a touchdown when he did review it, to me, it looked like he lost possession of the ball at the 6-inch line, but they called it a touchdown. So there was a lot of good fortune and luck involved today, Wendy.
You think, before Wendy, hold on 1 second.
Sure.
Here. You think, Danny, you think the NFL, the commissioner, and all his geniuses underneath him, you think they might call the referee, that refereeing crew in and have a talk with them? I'm serious when I'm saying that.
Well, I don't know.
I'm not saying they made it one way or the other win the game, but I'll tell you what. There were too many questionable things that went on that I couldn't understand, and they didn't explain it that well. Just saying.
Well, and just like we get Adam Archuleta and a bunch of nobodies doing the color broadcast for the games, we get the officials, you know, that are more, you know, at the bottom of the barrel.
They look lost, Dan. Well, they did.
They made a bunch of really questionable calls, a lot of missed calls. But either way, hey, Bears win. That's all that matters to us. 47-42, is that correct?
Yes, 47-42 the final.
89 points scored in a football game. Man, that is just unbelievable to me.
All right, we have more with Hamp and OB coming up. News coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Hamp and OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. And football fans, he's back. Longtime sponsor, nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich.
The Vuk.
For all your auto, home, or business insurance needs, contact Vuk at jeffvuk.com. And remember, nationwide is on your side. Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Wendy Snyder in for Andy Mazur. And time now, that clip we heard was for Who Brought It Today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. Hamp?
Well, and, you know, obviously, we needed all of it. And obviously, DeAndre Swift was not available, and for Menangai to, as a seventh-round draft pick, as a rookie, to step up and do what he did today was just phenomenal. And I know we got a lot of calls. Let's go out to the listeners.
All right. Ashton has called 312-981-7200. Hey, Ashton.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First off, just want to say I'm a freshman at Ohio State, and listening to you guys after the game always brings me back home, listening to my dad. So I really appreciate the good stuff you guys do, and keep it up. But my question for you guys is, I just saw Caleb continue to regress. He's holding on to the ball for too long. I have never seen a quarterback pirouette and face his own end zone more than Caleb Williams. He's never looking at his receivers. So how can we fix Caleb Williams' issue with holding on to the ball for too long?
Well, and obviously that has been kind of the tag on him this year, more so than last year. And everybody goes, is he getting better, OB? Is he starting to settle in and understand the progressions and all the things that, you know, competent quarterbacks do? And then we saw panic throughout the game.
Dan, Ashton, what you've seen here, the first, what is this, eight games, nine games? First eight games, Ashton, what you've seen is our quarterback, however you want to call it, whatever terms or words you want to use, this kid struggles. He struggles mightily looking for his receivers. I think he knows where to go with the whenever the pass is called. It's to a tight end, it's a whatever formation or whatever, or a wideout or a flanker or whatever, somebody's in motion, okay? Where he has a problem, he might know where the second guy is, not all the time, but I'll tell you, after that, I cannot believe it. Again, I've seen this too much. He's lost. He doesn't know where to go. Thank God he's got the escapability, the ability to run with a strong set of legs, because people try to grab him around the legs and he breaks free. And I'll tell you what, if he doesn't have the ability to run, Ashton, the way he's been playing, I'll tell you what, I'm not so sure if he would be the starter on this team.
Well, there was five different times that he did pull the ball down and ran for 53 yards. That's, you know, a little over 10 yards per, but that's not a quarterback in the NFL today. Yeah, I know some of the quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson and a few others, can make a number of plays during a game to kind of break a defense's will, but this is all, you know, in the pocket, refusing to make a decision, and then pulling it down, running around, trying to buy time, and people are on to him. To my mind, his mind is unsettled, and panic is kind of, you know, the only thing I can call it.
We have another caller. Tom wanted to chat with you guys. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Hey, Wendy, big fan of yours, but let's talk about the game today. Let's remember, guys, we won. We're 5-3. Detroit lost today. The Packers lost today. They lost to the Panthers, for crying out. The Packers have lost to Cleveland. We've got ourselves a tight end. Loveland's good. The backup running back played great. And Caleb Williams, he struggles, but when the game was on the line today, he threw a strike to Loveland, and Loveland busted, and we won. We're upset, and we won. What if we had lost today? I couldn't imagine if we had lost. Obi and Dan.
Go ahead, Tom.
There's other shows down the dial. This is the one to listen to. I love you guys, and go Bears.
Thank you, go Tom. Bears. All right, I appreciate you, buddy. And, you know, the one thing is, and we prefaced this whole thing that this was a bad Bengal team. We expected to win. But to win in this fashion, I don't know. You know, are we going to start thinking, oh, well, we're going to be kind of like, you know, Buffalo and wait for the quarterback to make a big play at the end of the game and win? Or is that something that you can really count on week in and week out? I just can't believe that we were able to come back with less than a minute to go and got to tip the cap. OB, he made the plays.
Tom, listen, let me tell you something. This game never should have came down. To the way this game ended, it never should have came down, Tom. That is not a good football team. They've got a makeshift quarterback that they brought in to try to save the team. They have injuries, and they're defensively, they're just god awful. Their record shows you. And it's congratulations to the Bears. They won, but it never should have, Tom, it never should have came down to this. We had the ball at the end of the game 9 more minutes than they did. That's 9 more minutes of us trying to make things happen. And we got to go to a miracle play again at the end of a game. And that's all we're trying to point out here. Congratulations. Yeah, they won. But you know what? I'd like to see look what happened there. And you look at offensively, there was 1,071 yards between the two teams. Defensively, did anybody show up today? We knew the Bengals had a bad defense and you could score. We knew we could beat them. But we didn't know we could go down the last few seconds of a game, and that's what it takes to beat them. But again, kudos to the Bears. They won. But there's stuff coming down the road, Tom. Trust me, there's stuff coming down the road.
Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Quick break, and we'll be back. 312-981-7200. If you'd like to speak to Hampton OB at 720 WGN. All right, we need to get into this now. It's Dan Hampton's Defensive Player of the Game, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. What do you think, Camp?
Well, he was here three days. Why not make him the Defensive Player of the Game? CeeDee Gardner-Johnson came up with 6 tackles. He had a couple of big plays, one for a 4-yard loss. When you give up 42 points, you know, I know 35 really because of the opening kickoff. But all that being said, you give up 35 to a really bad team. Nobody played well, but CD, hey, congratulations. He was the best of a motley crew today.
Ready for some calls?
Let's do it.
All right. Charles is on the line. 312-981-7200. What's up, Charles?
Hey guys, I just want to say, I know a lot of people, with sports these days, especially the Bears or whoever your team is, it's a crazy win. Take however you can get it, right? I just wanted to ask just out of curiosity, because I've been noticing the last couple of weeks, so, and like, especially when the Bears are successful, like, taking away the ball, they are on defense. I'm just curious where, Hampton OB, evaluates teams, especially like the Bears, where on your list are high at all, do you look at like points being scored off of opponents' turnovers? Because when you look at like the Bears going into this game, they were like, I believe it was like 9th, where they scored 53 points in total. So I want to just hear how you guys think of that when you're evaluating the Bears or any other team. Thanks, guys.
All right. And I guess, and I talked about this in the pregame, OB, of the turnovers that we have been able to generate going into today. Now, we didn't get a turnover until 59 minutes into the game when Tremaine Edmonds made that interception down at the 4-yard line. And then in the last play of the game was a punt, you know, throw from Flacco that I think Wright or McLeod got it, one of the DBs. Anyway, so the turnovers really weren't, you know, that big a deal until the very end, and of course stopping them. But the points off of turnovers, we had averaged a touchdown off of every time we were able to generate a turnover. Now, what that tells you is
that's huge.
Well, and okay, it's a shorter field. Okay, obviously, you know, you intercept the ball at the 40 and run it back to the 30. The offense has got a 30-yard field to score. So obviously, those are the hidden stats that kind of go into hopefully more and more wins. But, you know, we've lived vicariously off of the turnovers and those wins that we had, the 4 in a row. We, had generated 15 turnovers last week against the great Tyler Huntley. We got 0. Today, we finally got 1. 59 minutes into the ball game. So, yeah, the turnovers are great. You can't really count on them. But so much of the time, turnovers would be generated by pass rush pressure. And, you know, violent, you know, activity around the ball carrier, you know, tackling and ripping the ball out or forcing a bad throw and all that. A lot of those interceptions, they were just great plays by the defensive secondary. And as bad as the numbers will be today, giving up 470 yards passing, you can't say the defensive backs played great. But, man, when you look at their the receivers that they were playing against today, you know, T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, maybe the best tandem in all of football, you know, they fought their little cans off and kept us in it.
Kurt has called us, 312-981-7200. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, good afternoon. Yeah, it's great we won, no question. Yet, I've heard little discussion about the special teams, which really scare me. I mean, I think there have only been two runbacks for a touchdown off of kickoffs in the NFL this year. The Bears just allowed one, and then they allowed, I believe, only the second or third recovery of an onside kick. And they also allowed a 50-yard return on the second kickoff today.
Amen.
So
No, I agree. Okay. You know, I think it's James Hightower. I know his name's Richard Hightower is his name. Richard Hightower is the special teams coach. And a lot of, you know, and I've heard Ben Johnson throwing kudos to him and, oh, we do a great job, this and that. What about Cairo Santos missing that makeable field goal at the end of the half? I mean, the special teams have not been a strength, OB, and giving up the opening kickoff. How many times would an opening kickoff for a touchdown almost ensure a defeat? I'd like to see that stat. I bet it's 70% of the time you get, you know, spotting your opponent 7 points, you know, without ever touching the field with offense or defense. Normally that's doom, but not only is Hightower needing to look in the mirror, as you like to say, OB, but what about Dennis Allen? His defense, and we didn't have all the, you know, okay, Jalen Johnson hasn't played all year. Kyler Gordon, okay, he hasn't been there that much.
Danny, you got to go with the guys, you know,
exactly.
Forget about it.
And we gave up 500 yards.
Next man up, okay? And hopefully the Bears coaches and their scouts and everybody are smart enough to bring people in here. If you got the number one guy going down, the number two guy is equally as good or just a half a step behind, max. And that's what you got to have. If you want to be a winning team, because something you're not going to get all the breaks week after week, you're going to get tip balls or fumbles. It's going to be the crazy bounce of the football, okay? And if you get somebody hurt, they go down, next man up. You got to be smart enough and good enough as scouts, as coaches, as a head coach, offensive and defensive coordinator, and your position coaches to make the next guy up that you're not missing out that much. That's how you win championships. Next man up, and hopefully he's qualified.
Well, Nick McLeod and Nashon Wright had put enough panic in the coaching staff where they went and got C.D. Gardner-Johnson today, and he did make an impact, and he helped. I don't know when you really strip it away and watch the
Give him a pat on the back for
yeah.
that, Dan.
Well, hey, he made more of an impact than anybody else did, so kudos to him.
All right, we have Chris on the line who wants to get in on this. Chris, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking about Santos. When we get rid of him, I mean, I think he's outlived his usefulness. Plus, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I'm 80 years old. I almost had a heart attack today.
Thank you for your service.
Excuse me, Chris. Yeah, thank you for your service. Hang in there, guy. You went through all that stuff. Don't take it easy watching the game.
Okay, I will. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Chris.
Who did he want to get rid of?
I didn't hear that. I thought he said Seinfeld,
well,
if you want to know the truth.
I could give you a dozen I'd like to see him get rid of, but that's for later on.
All right, let's talk to Jer. He has called us, 312-981-7200. What's up, Jer?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a pleasure talking and listening to you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Previous caller stole my fire because I was going to bring up the kickoff return for a touchdown, missed field goal, blocked field goal, onside kick recover. If I was the GM, I'd strongly consider canning the special teams coach on Monday.
Well, again, Richard Hightower has been given a pass a lot of times, and when you start looking at it in the light of day, you know, a blocked field goal should not happen in the NFL. All the advantage is to the kicking team, and
100%.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it looked like a low kick. Now that's on Santos. Now I know this Moody, they brought in because Santos had some kind of a thigh injury. He made 8 out of 9 and looked pretty good to me. But either way, you know, giving up a 100-yard return to start an NFL football game, that's unquestionably unacceptable. You cannot compete in the NFL. Look at all the game, how that comes down to a few measly points here and there, and you give up 7 before you even take the field. I mean, that's crazy.
There's only so much you can put on the players' blame, okay? There's only so much. Now, they practice punt returns, kickoff returns. They, when you're punting the ball or receiving the ball, they go through practice and they go, how are you going to return it? If it's kicked to the right side, do you try to belly around to the left side or do you go straight up the sidelines? There's all kinds of things, and there's blocking assignments for the receiving team. Once that ball is snapped, you make a charge and then you come back and you try to set up the wall to bring back your receiving, whoever your guy is, that's catching a ball from a punt or a kickoff, and you set up a wall and try to make it work. It worked today. But I'll tell you what, it's amazing. I never saw anything like, I don't remember Dan and Jer. I don't remember a game like this.
No.
Like this one. Earlier in the year,
it was like
there,
flag
there
football.
Were two crazy games that were 24, 25 points, back-to-back games, and exact same things happened with a field goal, one made, one not, one blocked. And what went on today, it was like from quarter to quarter to quarter, but also was from minute to minute, and then it turned down from seconds to seconds. I don't recall seeing a game like that, and I couldn't tell you when.
Do you know what an honor it is to work with both of you and then to share this goofy-ass game with you guys? This has meant the world to me. We're going to take a break. We're going to do some news, and then listeners, Hamp and OB would love to talk to you. 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. It's Wendy Snyder in for Andy Mazur. And what a game, gentlemen. Nothing like it, huh?
Well, it's me and the guy sitting next to me. We just were talking. Hey, we've been doing this a long time, played in a lot of these, you know, NFL games. Never seen anything like this one.
Well, you talk about, yeah, it's absolutely a strange game, Dan. But I'm going to tell you, you know, our quarterback, he is, when he gets in trouble back there, which is way, way too often, okay, and he brings that on himself. But I'll tell you what, his escapability to me is unbelievable, folks. He has very good quickness and he has very strong legs. They come in after him, defensive lineman or a blitzing linebacker or a cornerback coming in on a blitz, and they grab him around the leg and he spins out of it. And I mean, very seldom that they get him and they put him on the ground. More often than not, he breaks away and he makes things happen. And I'm not quite sure that's a theory or that's a recipe to win games and win a world championship. I don't think it is. I think you got to move the ball running. You got to move the ball passing. And most important thing, you got to convert on third down. And those are the things that we struggle to do. We don't convert on third down, and we struggle. Same thing happened again today, folks.
I saw 5 different backup quarterbacks play today. Caleb, that was his 26th consecutive start. You got to give him a lot of kudos for being tough.
312-981.
I'd rather give him kudos for winning.
Well, he did. He made the play of the game to win.
312-981-7200. Steve has called in. Hey, Steve.
Hey, everyone. I'm happy about a 5-3 start, the fact that the Bears and they won and Green Bay lost, but it's a 5-3 team with a lot of problems, isn't it? And, you know, today you could look at one side of numbers and you say, you know what, we put up all these, you know, time of possession, we should have ate them up for lunch. Now, on the other side, we, you know, when you look at the three phases of football, we got outplayed in two of them, special teams and defense. And it really came down to Williams having to, you know, be the guy and you know, lead that this team from behind when it never really needed to get to that. I mean, he should have been kneeling the last three plays of the game instead of having one of many special teams farts where he had to actually, you know, come out and win a game from behind. GM needs to do something about that front seven and the special teams coach. And then finally, guys, you look at the wins this year, and I get your frustration. You guys know what championship teams look like. We're far from it, but at least we do have a change of culture. We're finding ways to win games in which we lost games last year.
Great point.
Yeah, absolutely. Steve, let me tell you something. The thing that I've seen starting again today and even last week, we're starting to utilize our tight ends in the passing game. And that is an I think. That's an I know. You have, in today's game, you have to use your tight end to basically open up the offense. Open up the offense. You've got to use the tight. They all the good teams, folks. I don't care in what division you're in or where you're at. You watch and see how much they use the tight ends. The last couple of games, we are now starting to use the tight ends. Why not would you want to throw to a guy 6 feet six, 250 pounds, with a kid weighing 205 pounds at 6'2", hanging on his back? We got to get them involved more and more week after week if we're going to be a championship team. You have to utilize your tight ends. Folks, all you got to do is look at the winning teams and see how much they use their tight ends.
Paul has called us. Let's say hello to Paul. Paul, what's up?
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Well, first off, my wife Sherry loves your show. I just want to say that.
Thank you.
But
how about you?
Listen, well, I love your show, too.
Okay.
I really do. But getting back, you guys are always, you're on the negative now, tearing down the game and everything like that. I just feel like that's not us. We're winning ugly, and that's just how it's going to be. You know, not every facet of the game is going to be covered every game you would like it to be, but it's not going to be. So you got to just pick your poison. Today was a track meet, and we came out on top, and that's all that matters is a W. You could try to straighten out the stuff later on down the road.
Paul, you got some really good points there. I will say this. When we were talking about this game in the pregame stage from 11 until 12, did you think that we would have to score 31 points in the second half get a win?
I thought this game was
fait accompli.
There was no question in my mind that we were going to win. But I didn't think it would even the way we won never even entered my mind. It was never a crazy thought or whatever we could win this way, but we're going to beat them. No, this is a team we should have annihilated them. And folks, when you don't put a team away and a bad team away, and you go to first quarter, you go second quarter, then you're coming out in the third quarter, and guess what? They're still hanging around. And you've been getting the breaks, and you have not put them away. Normally, again, I've said it before, and it happens too often. Up pops the devil, and it comes right back and hits you right in the face. That almost happened again today.
And it happened to Green Bay and Detroit today. Both of them lost at home. Green Bay to Carolina. Who would have seen that? I think they were 14-point favorites.
That would be like next to impossible. They lost to who?
Yeah, Carolina Panthers. And the one thing is, yes, we love the fact we're 5-3. We love the fact that our quarterback shook off the panic, whatever was, you know, creating all of this indecision in his head. And at the end of the game, he was good enough to make the throws to win it. All that being said, OB, you keep saying it. We've got a storm coming. Yeah, we got the Giants next week. But then we go to Minnesota, who won. They went into Detroit and beat Detroit today. It wasn't a fluke. They physically beat the Lions. Then we got a Pittsburgh Steelers, who won again today, beating what everybody thinks was the number one team in football, the Indianapolis Colts. So the Steelers, they're getting ready. And then we go to Philadelphia and then to Green Bay.
If we start winning, Danny, if we can beat those teams.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm not saying no
but
we have
like
no
we
chance.
Playing like we did today, not yeah. a chance.
Oh, God. Hell no. There's absolutely not. But if we can, you build up some momentum, okay? And this was really how we won the game. I still don't know. But we won the game, and we've got an easy opponent next week. They're coming in playing in our house, which is the Giants. But after that, we're going to find out how good we are, how good Ben Johnson is as a head coach, our offensive and defensive coordinator, and our position coaches, how you get this team ready for the back half of this season. Okay? We're 5-3 right now. We're kind of looking good numbers-wise. Okay? Some strange victories we've had this year. Very strange. But guess what? Crazy things can happen in this game. But there is a storm coming.
Bears 47, Bengals 42. The final, Hamp and OB, is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We'll continue with your calls, 312-981-7200. It's 720 WGN. Hamp and OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
All right. Poston Loveland has now become an urban legend with that catch and run. I'm telling you, put his team on his back. That's great to see.
Well, they better keep doing it, Dan.
Yep.
Because that's the only way we can win, and that's the only way majority of the really good teams win, utilize their tight end.
John wants to jump in with some thoughts on Colston Loveland. Hey, John.
Hello there.
Hi, Ed. John.
Dan, it's so great to talk to you guys. I'm a nervous wreck. I have both my heroes. I met Dan once down here in Springfield at a saloon called Biggies and Bubba's. And I'm going to tell you, he's the nicest person I've ever met.
Oh, caught me on a good
really,
day.
you are a great person. I mean, I'm scared to death of you, but you know,
hey, John,
you were the nicest guy.
Hey, John, you sure we're talking about the same guy? Am I right?
Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
Okay.
It was a real treat.
And I got
you. What I wanted to talk to you about, the 1963 Bears. Actually, that was my favorite team because that was my first championship as a Bear fan. And in 1963, there was a game that was against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it was 13-10, I believe. And Mike Ditka caught a pass and went through the Pittsburgh Steelers, all those players, twice, I think. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Mike Ditka, he caught about a 12-yard out, and he turned around, and I think he ran over. I want to say, if I can remember correctly, because I remember, because that was – If Mike Ditka didn't make that run, we don't win a world championship, okay?
I know that.
That was unbelievable, and I think he ran over. It was a minimum of three. It might have been four Pittsburgh Steeler tackles, one after the other. And they couldn't. Mike would not go down, and he kept lowering his shoulder, blowing him over. And you know how he finally got tackled? He couldn't go out anymore. He was exhausted.
Kind of like you when you intercepted that pass against the Giants in the championship game, right?
Well, there's not enough time for me to talk about that on the air.
Anyway,
how great he was.
Anyway, when Colston Loveland caught that pass and went through those two guys, I immediately thought of Ditka in 63.
There you go.
I'm going to tell you something, Ed. That was the loudest I've screamed since you intercepted that pass in that championship game in 63. I just want to tell you guys, I love you both. You have a great show. And go Bears for the rest of my life. I didn't give up on that game.
Thank you, Johnny. Yeah, that game, boy, I'm going to tell you. When we played the Giants for the World Championship, as a matter of fact, in Wrigley Field, and it was like late in that third quarter, Dan, and they ran a lot of screens and lates, and then he came in and he called a play, and he dropped back, and here we go. He's going to come with a screen again. So I stopped rushing the passer. I broke out about a step. As I was breaking out, I saw the ball coming, and I put up my left hand, grabbed it, and intercepted it, and that led to the winning touchdown in that World Championship game.
What a great call.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you for listening, sir.
Thanks, John.
And Ted is on the line. Ted, what's up with you?
Yeah, hello, guys. Yeah, I've been listening a long time and been watching the Bears from about 1950 or so.
Wow.
And I just want to make one other comment on that last caller, and I do have a question on that. Was that the game where Y.A. Tittle was the quarterback?
In 63?
Yeah.
Yes, he was the quarterback. He was with the 49ers and the Giants. They were hammering every year to get into the World Championship game, and then they finally made a move, and they got Y.A. Tittle, who was throwing the ball all over the lot out in San Francisco, and they made a big trade, brought him in to the Giants, and they thought that was the final fitting to win a world championship, and they won their division, and we played that championship game, as I said, here in Chicago, and guess what? We kept them from doing it. We beat them.
And I still remember Y.A. Tittle on his knees with the blood pouring out of his nose when the game ended. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yes, I do, Ted. As a matter of fact, that's in, I believe it's in Sports Illustrated. They covered that game. And I think when he, at the end of the game, he took his head off and he was kind of bald at the time, and the blood from the top of his head and his forehead and his nose, he had blood streaming down his whole face right as the game ended. When he took his helmet off, his face was all bloody. Blood dripping on his uniform.
Never forget that as long as I live. And I do have one other question for you, and it's regarding the quarterbacking. I watch a lot of NFL, and my observation there is the quarterback always gets rid of the ball within 2.5 to 3 seconds. I've counted, even in today's game, probably 8 out of 10 throws, it's 3.5 to 4.5. For some reason, it seems to me, if you don't get rid of the ball in 2.5 to 3 seconds, you're not going to hit a receiver. Now, is that the problem with the quarterback?
Or is it
with coaching with the plays?
Ted, that's one of his problems. Okay. And what might be, and I'm not quite exactly sure the answer I'm going to give you is correct. But if I was to guess, having played 11 years, having played on some bad teams, some decent teams, played on a world championship team, I would say he's got a problem.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm just sitting here listening to, you know, a number of these callers essentially stating the obvious, and it's the elephant that's in the room. And we all know there's a reason why the Steelers beat Indianapolis today. Aaron Rodgers, he still, at age 40, is getting rid of the ball the second fastest of any quarterback in the NFL, 2.63 seconds. Caleb is way over 3. And today...
Well, he's actually the worst in the league.
Yeah, well, yeah. And that's the ball game in a quarterback's world. Getting the right decision and the impetus to throw it where you have to throw it within a split second.
Danny, do you think that problem comes from his ability to read sometimes the second, but obviously the third or fourth receiver in his passing routes?
Well, I think he's still cloudy about who's number one, who's number two, the progression.
That could be.
But the other part is, guys, yeah, we see after a play sometimes guys are open. But a lot of times I see our receivers are covered. And I've said this before. You know, it's like they're running, but they're not running fast enough. You know, you got to play the game at 100. And if you get tired, get somebody else in there. But we got a lot of receivers kind of running with DBs on their hip, and I wouldn't throw it at them, you know, and that's what he's thinking. I'm not going to throw it at them.
All great receivers, the number one thing they got to have, they can have good hands, and I understand all that. But the biggest thing great receivers have, folks, and Ted, is separation. In other words, if it's a corner, if it's a cornerback covering a strong safety, a weak safety, or a linebacker, whoever it might be, for the receiver to get separation from the defender. And if you can get separation consistently, you're going to be a great receiver, and we're going to move the ball, and we're going to convert on third down if you can get separation. That is the key in my book.
Rob, you're our last call today.
Well, I'm honored. Hi, guys. Hi, Wendy. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Rob.
Dan, there'll be a question. One of the things I want to ask about is, in the final 2 minutes of tonight's game, were we in a prevent that gave them all those points and we somehow got lucky to get that one last drive that we got to Loveland?
Yes, and a lot of times you call it a prevent, but essentially what they're doing is at the snap of the ball, they're rolling out of there. And, you know, at some point, a competent quarterback and great receivers will beat you when you get into that mode. Buddy Ryan hated it. He wanted to keep pressing and make you have to make the quick decisions and make hard throws. We didn't make it hard enough because Flacco wouldn't stop.
Well, the big thing to help our defensive backs, the biggest thing that can happen is a pass rush. Either you're four down linemen, or if you go with three down linemen, and if you have it, you've got to use line tricks. You've got to use blitzes. You got to come after people. And that'll dictate what is going to happen in the defensive backfield. And if you cannot get to the passer, there's not a lot you can do about it. Offensive guy is going to win.
Hampton OB, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hey, football fans, he's back. Longtime sponsor, nationwide agent Jeff Vukovic.
Vuk!
For all your auto, home, or business insurance needs, contact Vuk.
Vuk!
At jeffvuk.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side. Thank you so much.
Great
Wendy,
job today,
you did a
Wendy.
Great job, Wendy. We love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Go Bears.